Good morning. Welcome to First Christian Church. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be rejoicing and be glad in it. As we prepare for our musical prelude, please take time now to turn off your electrical devices and to join with all of us as we celebrate the presence of the living God. Thank you very much, Lonnie. Please take time now to register your attendance on the friendship sheets and to share it with others on your aisle. Certainly, we want to offer a special thanks to our veterans this morning, and Pastor Cynthia will be doing that later in our service. We do have a number of announcements to lift up. First, next Sunday will be Consecration Sunday, and we ask that you please bring your pledge cards for 2018 to the church to be dedicated during the offering, recognizing that a number of you have already turned those in, but we will be dedicating all of them next Sunday. The Stewardship Commission and the board will be diligently working up on the proposed budget, which will be presented to our full congregation for approval on Sunday, December 3rd. Pray for that process. That is always a challenging process because you know what God would want and you know what we have, and we want to do the best with the resources we do have. Also, next Sunday will be our annual Thanksgiving dinner, and church decorating will follow the late service as we prepare for the holiday season soon to come. Please plan to be part of the lunch. You can sign up in the hallway there to bring something, and then to help us afterwards. I'd like now to call upon Michelle, who's going to talk to us a little bit about Night in Bethlehem.
It's me again. Okay, I just want to say A Night in Bethlehem is going to be a fantastic event. I have some amazing helpers that are going to make this afternoon just so phenomenal. If you guys know anybody with kids or any families who want to come, please have them call the church to register to do this. We are in need of a couple of things to borrow, if anybody in the congregation could help. We're in need of 3 Easy Up tents to make our stations in the fellowship hall. We're in need of lots of blankets, like Indian blankets or cloth tarps or just blankets to help make the fellowship hall look unrecognizable. And also wicker baskets. If anybody has any of these things that we could borrow, if you could please label them and put them in the corner of the CYF room between now and then, we will use them appreciatively, and I'll return them afterwards. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle. Lest I forget, this morning after worship, the Immigrant Alliance of Casper is hosting a homemade tamale sale to help a local family who has great need. And you can place your order for those wonderful tamales downstairs after our worship, and then pick up your tamales next Sunday between 9 and 10. That's what I know. Now, Pastor Cynthia has very good news to share.
I'm going to invite Chanel Nakash to come forward. She's one of our preschool teachers. And Chanel really took the lead this year of our preschool team in coordinating the pumpkin patch. Is Annette coming today?
Yes.
Well, Annette, you get to come up and get a certificate. We are so thankful for the work of the preschool. We want to recognize our preschool director, Annette Crane, and all of the preschool staff for their work in the pumpkin patch this year. They are receiving $2,000 as a patch management fee, plus a bonus for helping us reach the 35% profit cutoff. Plus, they worked 41% of the hours in the patch. So all told, they'll be getting over $4,500, which really helps the preschool. We'd like to have a representative of the Cub Scouts come up this morning. I'm not sure who is planning on representing the Cubs. They were invited to be here today. I know that a lot of the boys have pretty active schedules. We will entrust the Cub Scout check to Troop 13 to share. We'll invite the Boy Scouts to come up as well. The Cubs worked 9% of the hours in the patch, and the Boy Scouts worked 14% of the hours. So they are both receiving a check for their share of the pumpkin patch profits. Thank you very much for your help. Appreciate it. Thank you. The Boy Scouts every year put up the sale tent for us, and they're a big help with unloading the pumpkins, moving the pallets, as well as working a weekend shift, and the Cub Scouts cover Monday nights. I'm going to ask Melanie Dowler to come up. She is the treasurer for the Executive Board of Christian Women's Fellowship. CWF this year is giving their entire proceeds from their bake sale at the patch to Central Wyoming Hospice. And so they are presented a check of $311. Thank you for all the wonderful pies. Finally, we are blessed this morning to have present the CEO of the Olivia Caldwell Foundation. They were selected as this year's nonprofit charity community group to receive a portion of the church's proceeds from the patch. Church members worked 36% of the hours, so you all did an amazing job working in the patch. This year, the preschool teachers took designated donations. Usually, we just take donations and split them for all the groups, but this year, they tracked donations to individual groups. There were personal donations of $31 given to the Olivia Caldwell Foundation. Out of the church's share for the patch, we rounded up from $31, and we're presenting them a check for $1,000. I'd like to invite Katie Caldwell to come up. And we're going to ask Katie to speak for just a moment about the Olivia Caldwell Foundation so you all know the important work that they do.
Hi, I'm Katie Caldwell, and I'm the CEO of the Olivia Caldwell Foundation. My daughter, Olivia, is the namesake. She had cancer when she was a baby. She was diagnosed at 4 months old and passed away when she was 20 months old. I started the foundation just a couple of weeks after she passed away, just with the hopes of being able to make a difference and remember my girl and hopefully be able to find the cure that had eluded her. And thanks to the support of all of you and so many others in the Casper community and beyond, we've been able to give $225,000 over 3 years to pediatric cancer research. And our team is getting so much closer to finding better treatments and to finding that cure. So thank you so much. This goes a long ways.
Our opening hymn this morning will be number 277. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. But first, let us stand and greet one another.
Thank you.
the Lord. Great are the works of the Lord.
Wondered by all who delight in God.
Full of honor and majesty in the work of God.
God's righteousness endures forever.
Come, worship God with gladness and thanksgiving.
May we come before the Lord with glad and generous hearts.
Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, we come before you this morning to praise your holy name and to give thanks to you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. As we enter into the season of thanksgiving, as we celebrate the gift of life, may we be sensitive to those who are in need, and may we share with them out of our abundance, remembering the words of the Lord as he encouraged us to love and to share with the least of these, that which we have received, especially the greatest gift of all, the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father. Seated. Let us continue our worship by singing together the hymn of praise, number 352, Spirit Song. Thank you.
On this Veterans Day weekend, we take time in worship to pause and give thanks for those who have faithfully served our country. At this time, as your branch of service is called, if you are a veteran of the United States Armed Forces, you're invited to stand and please remain standing, and then we will have a prayer of gratitude, giving thanks to God for your service. Those who served in the United States Army, would you please stand? In the Navy. In the Air Force. With the Marines. In the Coast Guard or Merchant Marine. And any others who have served in some way but have not been named. Gentlemen, we are thankful for your answering the call, especially in difficult times. Will you please join me in prayer? O Lord, these servants standing before you know what sacrifice is. They have watched brothers in arms fall. Holy One, on this Veterans Day weekend, we commend again into your eternal care and peace those who have paid the ultimate price. For these servants standing before you, Lord, we pray that they will hear and receive words of gratitude for work done well. Oh God, we pray for all veterans, especially for those who struggle with painful memories, for those who face economic hardship, for those who struggle with mental illness or in need of housing or better health care. God, we pray that as a nation, we would care well for our veterans. Bless those who have served. Amen. You may be seated. This time, our children can follow Mrs. Grooms and head downstairs for worship and wonder and the Young Disciples class with their leaders. We are so blessed to have so many children in our church, and we're thankful for those adults who provide instruction to them. On the back of your bulletin, there is a list of prayer concerns of our congregation. As we lift these up, I encourage you to write a prayer card. You'll find a note in the in a postcard form in the pew rack in front of you. The back side is blank, so you can write a message to someone who needs to know we're praying for them today, and then place that card in the offering tray later in the service. Our card share this morning is for Bob and Laura Glasspool. They surprised us this week by deciding to move to Cheyenne. Bob and Laura were looking for a one-level home so they didn't have to deal with their stairs, and they wanted something that would be in a condo format with a homeowners association so someone else besides Bob could mow the lawn and shovel the snow. Smart people. Unfortunately, they had a hard time finding something like that in Casper, and their daughter, who lives in Cheyenne, said, "Why don't you guys come down here?" They have found a wonderful home and are settling in. Everything is moved, but there's lots of boxes to unpack. They are sure that they will be happy there and are thankful to be close to family. So you might send greetings to Bob and Laura. Just let them know that we will miss them here. And when they're back to Casper to visit, we hope we get to see them on a Sunday. There are many on our list who need prayers for health and strength. There's a long list of those who are in treatment for cancer. On that list is Billy Triplett, who showed up this morning in church. That means he's no longer at Wyoming Medical Center, and we are glad that you're out of the hospital. And Billy, we are so blessed to have you here in worship today. So, Brenda, you don't have to take a communion this afternoon. Yay! They had a whole visit planned and everything. We'll save it for later. Our list includes senior members and those with other health concerns. We want to pray for Rick Black's wife, Terry. She had surgery this week. She had fusion done of vertebrae at the base of her neck. She's home and in recovery. Prayers of healing for her. Prayers for our stewardship commission as they meet tomorrow night to work on the church budget. And prayers of wisdom and grace and generosity for each member of the church who will be writing a pledge card for giving in 2018. A prayer concern lifted up at first service. We are still praying to find an accompanist. We are so incredibly blessed by Lonnie and Kathy and the musicians who fill in for us, but we are still trying to replace Diane Lynn. If anyone knows a pianist or organist who is available on Sunday mornings, please refer them to Amber French. There's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary for you to sign and send greetings to our regional prayer partners, the members of First Christian Church in Loveland, Colorado, and their pastor, Michael Stein. The missionary we're lifting up this week is Sarah Williams, who serves in India, and we continue to pray for those in recovery from the hurricanes and wildfires, and for a small town in Texas shocked by shooting at a church service. Prayers for our world indeed. Are there other concerns or joys that we want to name this morning? Darlene. We are so thankful that Henry Tanner has come through his surgery well at Mayo's, and we continue to pray for his recovery. Randy Sue. Prayers for Randy Sue's daughter, Allie. Kristen. Hooray! Prayers of rejoicing that Wanda Hall is a great grandma to a new little boy, and rejoicing for their whole family. Are there any others? Keith. If you couldn't hear, Keith said it's a small joy to share. I think it's a huge joy. After 3 years of a work-related injury, Workman's Comp has finally approved the back surgery that Keith needs. It'll be on November 22nd, and we rejoice at that news and pray for your successful surgery. Janice?
I'm Dan's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Dan. And Virginia, I think you had your hand up. Prayers for Virginia's daughter, Debbie, in Tucson with multiple health issues and health insurance issues, paying for the care that she needs. Amber.
Becky is having some back and leg issues.
Prayers for Becky Foster. She has had some severe back pain, and she isn't with us this morning, so she can rest at home. Anyone else today? Billy.
Thank you.
Praise God, Billy. Just being alive as well as showing up in church is testimony to your faith and to your determination. We are grateful to have you with us and also to have your son and daughter-in-law here in Casper to help provide care for you. Welcome. We are blessed to have you here, and thank you for taking care of your dad. He is dearly loved. Let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we lift all these prayers to God. O God of grace and glory, we are humbled by your generous abundance. You bless us with so many good gifts. Lord, we thank you for the air that we breathe, for the sun that warms the earth, for the ground beneath our feet and the stars above our heads. We thank you for food to eat and to share. And Lord, thank you for quenching our hunger for righteousness through relationship with you, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh God, hear again the concerns of your people named this day. Lord, we ask you to bless the glass pools as they settle into a new rhythm of life in Cheyenne. Thank you for watching over those who have gone through surgery. We pray for continued healing. For Hank Tanner, for Terry Black. We pray for those who are in pain, for those who need medical care. Lord, we ask you to bless Allie, Debbie, Becky, Keith, and Billy. Oh God, we thank you for answered prayer, for the simple testimony to faith that Billy Triplett's presence here today gives to you. Lord, we rejoice in the birth of Wanda Hall's newest great-grandson. And we pray for a healthy life for all of their family. We ask you, God, to guide those who share in ministry. Be with the Stewardship Commission as they meet tomorrow night. Be with the accompanists that you have yet to call forth to serve this congregation. Help us to find that person. We pray for your blessing upon Michael Stein and the members of First Christian Church in Loveland, Colorado, upon Sarah Williams and those she serves alongside of as a missionary in India. Oh God, for the prayers that we have named before you aloud and those that we hold in our hearts, we give thanks that you hear and respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
As did the early church and Christians around the world ever since. So also we now have an invitation to remember our Lord's Last Supper by partaking of the bread and the cup, symbolic of his body and blood, shed for you and for me with his unconditional love. Will you join me as we sing together hymn number 459, the first and third verses of Lord, You Give the Great Commission?
Lord, you make the common holy, this my body, this my blood. Through the grace of God, the simple act of sharing bread and cup is transformed so that we may be transformed to be vessels of the presence of God. All who are here this morning, whether member or visitor, you are welcome to share in this holy feast. We remember the night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. He took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many." Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray.
God of love and life, we thank you that it is our privilege to gather here once again, as we have across the years, to praise your name and give thanks. With this bread and cup, we remember not only the life and ministry of Jesus, but also his promised presence as we come to his table. Grant us, O God, the renewal that comes to us and urge us to keep on trying to do your will through the days ahead. Amen.
Thank you.
Cal Decker, is Cal here? Come on up, Cal. Share with us the challenges facing the Property Commission.
I want to thank everybody for being here this morning. To participate with me with my property budget that we're setting out for this year. You'll have to excuse me a little bit. I can see everybody fine without any glasses anymore, but I can't read very well yet without them. So I'll do the best I can here. This morning, I've come to talk with you about the property budget for 2018. The things that are paid for out of the property budget are utilities, communication, building maintenance, equipment maintenance, elevator maintenance, insurance on the building and grounds, a van rental fund, yard care, and snow removal. And this seems to be a short list, but if you break them all down, there's a lot of stuff that the property has to pay for, just day-to-day services. If a toilet breaks, or if there's a leak in one of the faucets, or a sink leaks, or the plumbing leaks, or if the boiler needs maintenance. So it's broke down a lot into smaller areas than we really identifies here. The good news, thanks to the, I gotta back up again. In the paper this week, I seen that the power company wants to raise the price of electrical power. And also, I know our communication is going to be a higher cost this coming year because we've already received an increase in that. And our insurance provider has also increased the amount of our premium. So that's all on top of what we were paying last year for the same services. The good news, thanks to the people of the congregation that have mowed the lawn, donated to the property campaign, paid for high efficiency lighting, a new entry door going into the fellowship hall downstairs. I don't know if anybody ever noticed that old door, but the mice could walk in and out, and that was getting to be a problem. So now there's a new storefront door on it. It's very attractive, and no longer can the mice come in when they want. And there's been many, many other projects around the property that have been paid for or have been done by people of the congregation. And I really appreciate that. And I could go on and on for probably the rest of the hour, but I won't do that. Our building is now safer because we have a new smoke detector system that's in the entire church. If one of them goes off, it'll all go off. We had a smoke problem in the kitchen a few months ago, and nobody knew there was a problem, which that could have led, if there was a real fire, that could really lead to a disaster. But now we have new smoke detectors. They're all linked together, and if one goes off, they'll all go off. So that's one of the things that's made the property safer. Also, some new electrical work and a new power box, which has also helped made the property more safe. These glasses drive me nuts, so hang on and we'll get there. And with this being said, even with the prices of some of the stuff going up, property is not asking for an increase in our budget. We still will have plenty of funds to do the day-to-day work, and also some specialty work. We'll still do fine with all of that, without an increase in the property budget. When you fill out your generosity card, think about all the things that it does good for, about the commissions that have been here and talked about what they spend their monies on and what they do with it. Also think about what it does to us personally. It personally to me, this is the best place I can be, and I really enjoy our church. And so being in this property commission thing has really done a lot for my soul and mind, and it's been really well for me. It also does a lot for the community. We've seen the pumpkin patch today and what it's done for the Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, and for the cancer research that's going to go on. And this happens all the time. The sandwich ministry is another one. It's just what we do around our community is just untold. And also, it even goes farther than that. The monies are used for things that go on all over the country and the world, disasters. And with that being said, I know this is week three of Live Generously. And take hold of the life that really is life, and do what you can to help all the commissions meet their goals. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Cal. I'm going to ask the congregation if you join me in giving not only Cal, but the leadership of this church, all those that are chairs of commissions and do many different tasks. Let's give ourselves a hand for what God is doing for us. What God is doing for us and through us. We appreciate your time, Cal. Now let us receive our morning offering, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Will the deacons please come forth? Thank you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we joyfully offer to you these gifts with thanksgiving in our hearts, knowing that you will use them and us for the furtherment of ministry in this your kingdom on earth. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The scripture reading today is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 12. It's in the Pew Bible and the New Testament on page 210. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation
and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Our reading continues in verse 13. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, choir, for that singing of majesty. What a glorious hymn and a good message for us to hear today. Will you pray with me? O gracious God, we give thanks for the gift of your word. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us now with understanding. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O Holy One, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It is interesting to me how often there are brief sayings that become part of the culture around us that actually come from Scripture. And we may not even realize when we hear them that that was in the Bible first. For example, have you heard of the play, "You Can't Take It With You"? It's a common phrase. Sometimes when kids are cleaning out grandma's closet and trying to convince her that it's time to let go of a few things, they might even say, "You can't take it with you." Paul, in this case, is writing to Timothy, a young man who was a servant in the early church. And Paul says, "We brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it." Paul is instructing Timothy to focus on what is most important in life. He says there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. Though it was written nearly 2,000 years ago, this message is still appropriate for us today. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. There is great gain in godliness and contentment. This is really a pretty countercultural message for the world in which we live. For society around us says, yes, you need food and clothing. You've got some food, you need some more. In fact, we in America often have so much food that then we spend money going to the gym to try to get rid of the side effects of eating too much. It's a vicious cycle. advertising tells us, yes, you have clothes, there are clothes on your back, but you need more. You need the latest fashion, the newest style, the perfect color for this season of the year. You need more, society says. And yet Paul is reminding Timothy, and through him reminding us, perhaps it's okay to have a little less, to be able to give away out of the abundance of which God has blessed you, so that others too may know the love of God. This fall, we are in an annual stewardship drive here for members of First Christian Church. All of our members are asked to prayerfully consider making a pledge for 2018, an estimated promise of what you hope to give to the church. Part of that journey, yes, is to pay for the church budget, to keep the lights on, to keep making sandwiches, to feed the hungry every Saturday, to do the work God has given us to do. But it's not just about the church budget, it's about our spiritual relationship with God, knowing that everything we have comes to us from God, and we are stewards to care for it. We are responsible for how we spend our time and our talents, as well as our financial treasures. Paul gives advice to Timothy and to us. As for you, Timothy, man of God, as for you, Christians of Casper, people of God, shun all this pursuit of riches, and pursue instead righteousness, meaning a right relationship with God. Godliness, meaning that we live a life in which others can see God in us. Faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Pursue, Paul says, these things, these attributes of being people of God, people of faith. The word in the Greek translated pursue is the same word often used in ancient Greece in terms of training athletes for the first Olympics. It meant to persist, to train every day, to be committed to the long haul. In other words, Paul is saying to Timothy, if you are to pursue the Christian faith, it's not something that's going to happen easily. You'll be done in 5 minutes. This is a marathon, not a sprint. This is a lifelong journey. A journey of growing in generosity. A journey of coming to understand a little bit more and a little bit more every year, every day. That all that we have comes to us from God, and we are called to share those blessings with others. Another phrase common in contemporary culture is fight the good fight. It sounds pretty inspirational, motivational. On Veterans Day, it makes us think of veterans who fought a good fight to protect freedoms, to preserve democracy, to work for peace around the world, even under strenuous circumstances. But Paul is writing to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. These are strong words. Pursue righteousness and fight for your faith. It won't be easy. How much simpler life would be if it was easy? There would be no cancer, there would be no war. We could get along just fine without God, because we'd be smart enough to solve all the problems and strong enough to figure it all out. And yet, that's not the plan of life on earth. The plan is for us to remember how much we need God. Paul writes, in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, I charge you to keep the commandment which Jesus will bring about in the right time, he who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In the presence of God, remember that it is God who will see you through. That wonderful pithy saying that gets quoted a lot, or misquoted perhaps, money is the root of all evil. What Paul actually wrote was the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It was actually a saying in the first century. It's found in other manuscripts of the time. No one's quite sure what Greek or Roman first spouted that off their lips, but Paul decided to quote something his hearers and young Timothy would be familiar with. The love of money is the root of all evil. Because you see, if you start to love money too much, you start to love people less. If you pursue only money and material comfort, you begin to think that you're in charge of your destiny. If you could just be rich enough, you could take care of everything, and then you wouldn't need God. I had an interesting conversation just a couple weeks back. A young man who's peripherally connected with our church had posted on Facebook a request. "Pastor Cynthia, please ask the church to pray that I can win the lottery." I wasn't sure how to respond, so I just didn't say anything. It's on Facebook. Things go up and down all the time. Well, he was persistent because a few days later, he posted a message to me and said, "Pastor Cynthia, why won't anybody pray that I can win the lottery?" I wasn't sure how to answer, but I figured this wasn't really an online conversation. So I sent him the church's phone number and said, "Give me a call." And he did. He honestly, genuinely didn't understand why his friends that he'd been asking to pray for him weren't praying that he was going to win the lottery. So I asked him some questions and let him talk a while. I said, "Well, tell me why you want to win the lottery." It was very interesting because he had obviously thought through this. He had made for himself a list of scriptures related to money. Both this one, saying the love of money is the root of all evil, but also others that say, "Ask and it shall be given to you." He could quote his Bible pretty good, but from my perspective, he still wasn't quite getting it. When I asked, what are you going to do if you win the lottery? He said, "Well, you know, I know if I said I was going to start a charity or a foundation that maybe people would pray a little bit harder." But he said, I don't really know that that's my goal. I said, "Well, what is your goal?" He explained he's living with his parents, and he wants to have enough money that he can get out on his own. And then he said he wants to start a computer company that designs Christian-inspired video games as a way to reach people of his generation. I said, "Well, that's a perfectly reasonable goal, to want to have enough money to move out of your parents' house. I bet that would make them happy." I said, "You want to design computer games? Have you studied computer design? Have you gone to college?" He said, "No, I started out a little bit on the VA bill when I got out of the service, but it really wasn't for me, so I haven't done the college thing." I said, "Well, what about just getting a job?" I said, if mom and dad are paying for your room and board, you could kind of save up your money, and then that might help you pay for some training to do this computer thing." Well, he said, "I've looked. The only job I can get right now is at McDonald's, and I don't want to do that." I tried to explain that there are all kinds of people all over the world who do jobs sometimes that they don't really like, but it's the only job you can get, and it pays the bills, it puts food on your table. It was a fascinating conversation because this young man really thought, because he was a Christian, if he just prayed, God would let him win the lottery and he wouldn't have to work. He obviously had not read the context of 1 Timothy 6, where Paul is saying to Timothy, it's going to be hard work for you to pursue a right relationship with God, for you to fight the fight of faith. And if you get distracted just by loving money, you might lose your way. You might forget what it means to trust God. It's amazing how often in Scripture, we read the stories of people who go through hard times. And because they trust God, there is something good that comes out of the worst situations. There is light that shines in the darkness. I'm inspired by Keith Rouse, who for 3 years has asked this church to pray tell Workman's Comp to pay for my surgery. Hallelujah and amen, they finally will. That is persistence in prayer. I am inspired by Billy Triplett, who the doctors think should have been dead a while back. One of them thought a couple years ago, one of them thought a couple months ago, and here he is in worship. Because the most important thing in Billy's life is pursuing a right relationship with God and holding tight to his faith because he is living the life that is real life, that really matters, the life that's not just about money or clothes or trimming or fast cars or big houses, the life that is about God's love. I'm inspired by Katie Caldwell, though I don't know her well. I was privileged with my husband to attend a fundraising dinner, an appreciation dinner just recently. And the lead researcher, who's a doctor in Colorado at University of Colorado Children's Hospital, who's been working with the Olivia Caldwell Foundation, came and talked about the work that they do and the work that the Olivia Caldwell Foundation makes possible. Katie shared this morning that over the past 3 years, they've given over $200,000 for pediatric cancer research. The physician explained in great detail, trying to put into lay people's terms, how they have targeted specific brain cancers, just like the kind that Olivia died of, and they have made progress in understanding how to detect those cancers earlier, what medicines give hope and possible healing. They are working to find a cure. One of the ways that funding works in society, especially in the medical world right now, is that there are grants available, but you have to spend a lot of time fundraising to get the money to get the grant. The work of the Olivia Caldwell Foundation has let the researchers do the research instead of spending time asking for money. Because of the research they have done and the documented evidence of making progress in targeting childhood brain cancers, they are now qualified for a grant from the government of federal funding that will be in the millions. It's like there's a little seed that's planted and grows. Hold fast to the life that really is life. When you give yourself away for something greater, you find purpose and meaning. When you give yourself to God, you realize the greatest purpose and meaning of all. Paul is encouraging Timothy and encouraging us to hold fast to eternal life. And he's challenging us to face the hard reality that if we get hung up on the riches of this age, we might miss out on being rich in the age to come. Being rich in heaven. It seems like such an appropriate message for us as Americans in 2017. I was a little curious why Paul was saying it to Timothy. The reading I did this week gave a little context. At the time that Paul was writing, essentially to be rich meant you were colluding with the Roman Empire. In Paul and Timothy's day, the only way to get wealthy was to be in the pocket of the politicians. The only way to have abundant wealth in that context was to work with people who were oppressing your neighbors. Paul is talking not just about not loving money, but not loving the power that gets you money by putting down other people. It really is a relevant word for us today, even if it makes us squirm a little bit. Finally, reading this text over and over got me thinking about, now hold with me here, this sermon illustration might seem like an odd stretch, but there's a wonderful folklore, I have no idea how much truth there is to it, I read it in a children's book once, about raccoons and their desire to grasp shiny things and smelly things. Raccoons have these cute little paws, you know, that look kind of like human hands. I saw one wandering through our neighborhood the other night, and it made me think about raccoons and the story I heard about someone who wanted to catch a raccoon. They just tied a mason jar to a tree, and they put a snack inside of it. The raccoon came along, stuck in his paw, and made a fist. It made his fist so big he couldn't pull it out of the jar. Then the farmer was able to come and catch the raccoon who'd been stealing his corn. All the raccoon had to do was let go, and he would have been free. But that raccoon held tight. I was trying to figure out if this is true or not. It's a great story, wonderful little illustration. So, of course, what did I do in the modern age? What else do you do? I Googled. So I looked up raccoon hand trap, thinking I'd find some legend or story or explanation. Instead, I found a whole market for commercial raccoon hand traps that you can buy these metal concoctions. They have a chain you stake down in the ground. The raccoon puts his paw in. These are going to make sure they catch generous raccoons, not just stingy raccoons, because then after their paw goes in, a little clamp snaps down on their wrist and they can't pull it out. Kind of like a giant mouse trap. Well, I hate to compare human beings to rodents, but I wonder if sometimes we get distracted by the bright, shiny things. We put our little paws in the cookie jar and we hold tight. We want to win that lottery so badly that we're not dare going to go get a job at McDonald's. That's below our dignity. Forget responsibility. I'm going to win. We hold tight. We put out our little paws and we grasp what we can and we think, this is mine. And we forget that it came from God. And God gave us more than we need because God gave us enough to share. We can only do that when our hands are open. One of the Greek words I looked up this week, in that verse that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, there's one word in Greek for the love of money. And it actually has the same roots as philia is love, and silver. You could translate it as the love of shiny things, the love of silver, the love of all that sparkles. Sometimes we get distracted by the pretty stuff. And we reach out and we grab it. And God says, I know you think that's pretty, but I've got something for you that is magnificent and beautiful beyond your believing. All you have to do is open your hand and be free. But it's hard to let go. It's hard to give. That's why I think generosity is a journey, a growth process. Perhaps a lifelong journey that we pursue when we fight the good fight of the faith. We learn to let go in order to hold on to the life that is real life. This week, my friends, if you can help yourselves, don't be a raccoon. And if you're going to pray for somebody to win the lottery, I nominate Cal Decker. Do you know, right now, Publishers Clearinghouse, see, the fact that I know this shows that I'm preaching to myself this morning, not to the young man on the other end of the phone. Publishers Clearinghouse is offering $2.6 million plus $5,000 a week for the rest of your life. I was thinking about that. I was thinking if I could win, how fun it would be to give away that money, give some to the Olivia Caldwell Foundation and First Christian Church, and the list is long. And then I thought, well, it would make more sense for my niece to win it because she's young. She'll live longer. She could do more good. And then I thought, Cal Decker would be pretty good. Because I know that Cal would tithe. Can you imagine what? At 10%, okay, mathematicians, don't get out your calculators and tell me the answer, but 10% of that would be a pretty good haul for First Christian Church. And knowing Cal, it would be more than a tithe. But maybe if I'm busy praying for somebody else to win the lottery so they'll give money to the church that I serve, well, maybe I'm kind of being a raccoon too. My friends, this week, may we let go of those things that keep us from God's love. And may we pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. May we take hold of the life that is life. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn today is How Great Thou Art. As we sing it together, we dedicate ourselves to God's service. It's number 33 in your hymnal. We'll sing the first and last verses. And as we do so, if there's anyone this morning who's looking for a church home, who needs to be prayed over, who wants to give your heart to God, we invite you to come forward. Let us stand and sing together, How Great Thou Art. Invite you to join us downstairs in Fellowship Hall for a time of coffee and refreshments, Christian fellowship, greeting someone you may not know well, get to know each other a little better this day. I remind you that next Sunday is the all-church Thanksgiving dinner. If you're going to be in town, we'd love to have you come and eat with us. Please sign up on the bulletin board today. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O gracious and loving God, you call us to take hold of the life that really is life. You call us to let go and to be free, to reach out and grasp eternal life. Lord, may we answer that call to pursue righteousness, to pursue faith and love, endurance and gentleness. Lord, help us this week to pursue you. Amen.
Let the lifting of our hands is only